Wisconsin, it's finally here. Yuengling, oldest brewery in America, family-owned and operated for six generations, and now officially in Wisconsin. Whether I'm tailgating, watching the game at a sports bar, just kicking back, I'm reaching for a Yuengling. DG Yuengling & Son, Pottsville, PA. Enjoy responsibly.
So, Kayla Carius, the UW Green Bay women's head basketball coach, has done something that has potentially never been done before. No, it's not what we're going to talk about coming up. It's the fact that after we couldn't get Chris McIntosh or Greg Gard or anyone over at UW on via video successfully on our program, she's joining us on the Yuengling. Yeah, I blame Jesse personally. How many times has Luke Fickell been on our show?
A couple of times.
Five or six. I don't think we've ever successfully got him on video.
No, we tried.
But I blame Jesse for all that. And I credit Kayla for being the one who breaks the streak because she overcame Jesse's ineptitude. Joining us now on the Yuengling Hotline, the Yuengling Guest Hotline presented by Yuengling, the oldest brewery in America and now officially in Wisconsin. Six generations, family-owned and operated, DG Yuengling and Son, Pottsville, PA. Enjoy responsibly. It is the head coach of the Horizon League champs. It is Kayla Carius on Wilde and Tausch. Kayla, I think you're best known on this program as Dan and Brother Town's daughter-in-law, but nevertheless, we're happy to have you. How you doing?
I'm great. Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be with you.
Honor is an overstatement, to be sure, but let's use that word and say you were honored as the Horizon League Coach of the Year, which I know you are all about your team. There are a few things I know about you, and one is that you're not going to spend a lot of time talking about you winning that award. But I am trying to figure out, because this was promoted, obviously, as you are the first one ever to both win the Player of the Year award and then win Coach of the Year in the conference. I don't, like, Coach K never won Player of the Year in the ACC. I mean, you may be the greatest player coach in basketball history. Do you think that's a fair description?
No, that's a really bold statement. That probably is not true. And I also don't know how many people I am even in competition with for that award. So all I know is I'm just really grateful. This is the place that I obviously played at and had a million memories made at and gave me my best friends and all the things. And so to be able to come back here and just give back at least half of what I've been given was my goal. So it's been a fun ride.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the one more thing, Gabe, and then I'll let you go. Let's talk a little bit about the ride that you've been on. Last year, you take over a veteran team and you guys were great. This year, you remake your roster and you guys are great again. What has been the secret sauce for you this season that has allowed you guys to do what you've done?
Well, like you said, we did graduate seven after last year's team, really veteran players, players that have been here a long time and understood the success and what made this place great. And then last April, our staff spent a lot of hours in the office working in the transfer portal. I mean, the beauty of the portal now is that you can pick up players that can make an impact right away. And then the curse of it is that there's 1,500 names that you have to sort through and figure out who fits you the best. And you have to do it really quickly. And that was such a challenge. And all of us coaches across the country at every level are still navigating how to do this and how to set your team up best going forward. So I just want to give a shout out to my staff, because that was one of the hardest months on the job I've ever had, because of how fast you have to make decisions and how quickly you need to assemble your roster and take players before the next guy does. And so my staff did a phenomenal job finding the right fit, not just the kid who can score 25 a game, but the kid who can score at a high level and who understands and has experience, but also can sacrifice that for the good of the team. And that's not always easy to find. That takes a lot of phone calls and a lot of figuring out people. I think we did come up with the transfers that had been recruited by Green Bay the first time. So when I call, it's not, do you know where Green Bay, Wisconsin is? It's more like, hey, remember us? You don't even need to take a visit. This is what we're about. Are you looking for a different experience? If so, we want you to come here. And things were, once we got to that point, some of them were done rather quickly because we did find the right fit. And as far as secret sauce, it's just the culture here. The Green Bay way is what keeps us strong year after year. I knew that as a player. I wanted to keep that strong going forward. I think Jenna Geyer, being the lone returner who had any kind of significant playing time last year, a lot of that responsibility fell on her shoulders to keep the culture going the right direction. And she did a phenomenal job. I just think player leadership is always going to be the thing that separates us from other teams. And we have a great group of player leadership this year, too.
So you had the opportunity to play in the NCAA tournament as a player, but last year was your first time going through that as a head coach. What is a lesson that you learned last year that you think you can carry over to this year?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's so different when you're on this side of it. You know, when you're a player, you're just focused on yourself, honestly. And you're at that time in your life where it's just all about you and your teammates, and you never see what your coaches do behind the scenes to get you prepared. So I don't know, as far as lessons learned, you know, it's all about your matchup, which I think is a lot of that is just out of your control at this point. Up until then, you just allow your players to celebrate and enjoy this and then get back in the gym. And then eventually when you figure out who you're going to play, then the focus becomes on that game plan. And I just think you're getting your players as confident and as ready as possible. I think we have a lot of talent on this year's team, and I think we're playing some really good basketball right now. And knowing you're going to face a very good team no matter who that is. Only 68 teams get in, so you need to be putting your best foot forward right now. Getting them to be at the most confident as possible level right now, I think, is a really key point.
Kayla, when you look at the way I want to go back to how you built this team and how you did it so quickly. How long does it take? Because we see teams, not just yours, but basically every team in both football and basketball at this point, having to do this kind of speed dating thing to find their rosters. I'm curious how long it takes for those players to gel and play like a team, because that's one of the signatures of Green Bay basketball, is you guys, you know, whether it was under Kevin or under you, always play well together. How does that process work, and how long do you have to do it before you start putting yourself in a hole in the standings because you're still trying to figure things out?
Yeah, you're right. It does have to happen really quickly. I think the good news is we have the summer together. I think those 8 weeks that we get as a group in the summer are so, so valuable. And they were before. I think now in the portal world, it's even more so, because you need your players together. You need them gelling early. You need them honestly just spending time without our coaches in the gym. Play pickup with each other. Figure out each other's tendencies. At least that's a big part of what we do. We're hands-on as much as we can, but we don't have a lot of time allowed with us per NCAA rules in the summer. So it's getting them together to do activities off the court, to put them in funny situations. Honestly, there are camp counselors, so they're experiencing that together. Just all the time that you get in that off season is incredibly important. That's where we started to see the friendships form a little bit. It was slow going because there were so many new people. And as the summer went on, it got a little better and a little better. But we felt pretty good by the end of summer. We really put out the goal of understanding our offense at a basic level and forming some pretty good friendships. If we can get to that point by the end of summer, we're in a good spot, knowing that we had all fall preseason to continue to practice together, continue to invest time off the floor together. And we knew it was going to take time. We didn't know how long, you know, and of course we always schedule at a really high level in the non-conference too. So we threw some really heavy hitters in there, knowing full well we might not have our identity figured out by that point, but you also can't shy away from it. We need some of those non-conference wins to boost us in case we need the at-large bid. And for seeding purposes, in case we do qualify with the automatic qualifier and still need some help there with the seeding. So we're not going to shy away from tough teams early on, but some of those scores look like they do because we just hadn't quite figured it all out yet. So it's a challenge, but, you know, you're just continuing to invest in each other, preach the Green Bay way, preach our culture, and just at some point, I don't know when it was, it just started to click, and little by little, we just kept getting better. And when you're in it for the team, and we always say program over everything, if you're putting that first, you can't go wrong.
What other challenges exist for a mid-major when you're dealing with the NIL and transfer portal era of college athletics?
Yeah, well, you know, we're in the game, we're competing, we're adapting to that style of recruiting now. We have to. I think you have to adapt or you fall behind quickly. And so we are in the mix with all of that. I just think the challenge, of course, at a mid-major level is the NIL dollars from us compared to any type of Power Four school. And I think that what we've tried to do is keep the emphasis on what a player can achieve here or what they can gain for coming to our program. And that's a great experience. And that might not be more money in your bank account compared to a Power Four school, but that might be experiencing an NCAA tournament, experiencing climbing up a ladder and cutting down a net. That might be just the community and the fan base investing in you and really caring about you and you having multiple job offers when you graduate from this place, because the whole community wants an athlete and a competitor like you to be a part of their company and their business. And just having a great overall experience is what we've tried to focus on. And that's the challenge. I do think we're in a different world than football. We're still in a different world than men's basketball. Those dollars are not anything that we're seeing, but it is trickling down, and we are seeing some of it. And I think that, honestly, when we go to the portal last year, when we're going to have to go again this year, we're not looking for the people who call us and say, how much can you offer? I don't want to talk about that first. I want to talk about, you should want to come here, and we should want you because we're the right fit for each other. This place offers so much more than money could ever offer you. And you're going to remember this experience for life. You're going to have your best friends for life. And I just feel like that investment speaks way more than a check that goes into your bank account every month. So again, I go back to, we have to find the right fit. And there are players who are only looking for that. There are also players who are like, I want to come to Green Bay because I know what I can get out of it. Those are the people that we're looking for.
Makes me wish my kids still played basketball when I listen to you talk. So, Kayla, I'm curious. I sat at a game last year with your father-in-law, and behind me a few rows there was a very loud voice that was unhappy with some of the officiating. He was obviously the legendary UWGB coach Kevin Borseth.
Was like, either you're going to say Kevin or you're going to say my husband. One of the two.
I will get to Rick in a second. He was in a different section, I believe. But I am curious, what has it been like? I mean, he coached you. He's such an iconic guy in the program. But what's it been like to have him there as kind of a support system? And then he yells at the officials so you don't have to, because he can't get teed up from the stands.
And he still remembers them all by first name. So I think that they can hear him too. So actually, my story goes that I was recruited by Kevin.
Oh, that's right.
I'm from Sheboygan. I had that really, our whole high school conference played in Green Bay. So I had this great connection with the city of Green Bay early on. He would come watch me a lot. And I, as I got to know him, thought there's nobody else I would rather play for than this guy. And so I commit to him. But my senior year, as I'm getting ready to come here, he takes the Michigan job. So you kind of get stuck in like, well, am I still going to go there? And they don't have a coach. And I wasn't highly recruited. It's not like I had a lot of options. But you're kind of on hold for a little bit. Then they hire Coach Ballant. And Matt calls me, have a good conversation. I come up here and meet him. And I'm on board. I mean, Green Bay was the place for me. I can't imagine going anywhere else at that point. So I played for Matt for all my 4 years. And that's what I think makes it even more interesting, because I obviously had the desire to go to Green Bay and play for Kevin. And I had always admired his work, and I'd always admired just the person that he was and his knowledge of the game and everything. So he, after 5 years, returns to Green Bay, and we kept in touch. We saw each other out on the road recruiting. It was a great relationship the whole way through. And I had watched his retirement press conference too. And then maybe an hour later, my phone rings and it's Kevin. And I'm like, oh boy, something's happening here. And we start to have these conversations of the Green Bay job. I'm thrilled that he's still around and invested. It was a pretty early on conversation after I accepted the job of saying, me telling him, I want you around as much as you want to be around. Now we had to figure that out the first few months. I mean, he is retired, so he does have the option and the freedom to go hunting and fishing, and he should. It's well deserved after all the time he's put in. And he has three grandkids now, and his kids are close. he needs to go and do that. But he is very active with us still. He's watching film. He's at practice quite a bit. He's at games in the stands, like you mentioned. He's not doing road trips. You know, that was one of the things. He's like, I'm retired. I'm not sitting on that bus. I'm not. That's fine. He's, I don't know if you want to call it a consultant type of role, but I hate that word because he's just way more of a friend and a great colleague than a consultant would be. I think he's just, what boss, what former CEO retires from a company and then says, but I'm coming back. I want to make sure that this place thrives. I want you to do just as well as I did. And most people are like, retired, see you later. I'm going to go somewhere warm. I hope you fail. I hope this place tanks. There's a lot of that out there, no matter athletics or otherwise. And I just think it speaks to Kevin's character that he wants to see this place thrive. It's meant so much to him. I mean, this is his baby. And I'm thrilled because, again, I wanted to play for him. How unique and cool is it now that he gets to sit in my office? Okay, I watched film. Here's what I saw. I get to ask him advice, and then I get to go call the shots at the end of the day. I mean, that I'm living my dream. I think Kevin is incredibly helpful, and he does it in all the right ways. He's not stepping on my toes. He's not talking over me at practice, even though he probably wants to sometimes because I'm saying things the different way that he would have. I think that what he's doing for us continues to just impact us greatly, and I'm really thankful.
Before we let you go, by the way, great journalism lesson there. You know something, you screw it up and ask the question wrong, and it gets a great answer anyway. That's proof. What I always say, it's not about the question, it's about the answer, because I knew that that was the scenario with you and Kevin. All right, speaking of coaches, before we get you ready for the NCAA tournament, you are married to a coach, you have a father-in-law as a coach, I live with a coach. I coached at a much, much lower level. She coaches gymnastics. I coached everything else in a very mediocre level. I am curious, though, what the dynamic is at home when there's two coaches in the house, because Rick obviously had a lot of success as a coach as well. I don't know if he doesn't have a technical title with you, but I know that he probably talks a lot of basketball with you and gives you a respite from basketball when you need one.
I think the title he uses is Director of Household Operations. I think that's the title he likes to use. My father was also a coach, and he coached us all the way through middle school, and he played at UW-Platteville. My brother played at UW-Platteville. There's a lot of basketball in our family and a lot of coaches on both sides. What is it like in home? Yeah, I mean, I couldn't ask for a better coach's husband than the one that I have. This job has a lot of highs and lows. There's a lot of it's in seasons. There's a season of the transfer portal and the stress of roster management. There's the off season time of summer, and it's all new, and you're kind of just, you have a little bit more downtime, a little, and then you're back into fall again, and this season begins, right? It's all in ebbs and flows. And then as the season goes on, you enjoy great wins and you enjoy really tough losses and disappointment and frustration and all the emotions. And I just think when you have a husband, a spouse who understands that truly, him, he coached for 10 years on the men's side, has been to multiple NCAA tournaments. He just knows. And there are times when I need a listening ear. I need a hug. I need a shoulder to cry on. And then there's times where I walk in the door and he's like, let's talk about your transition defense. And I'm like, I can't talk about it right now. I've hit my limit. I've been talking about it all day. And he gets that. And I, you know, we have a 6-year-old and a 2-year-old at home. So I think the beautiful part of that is they don't care whether you win or lose. You're still mom. They still love you. After hard losses, now my 6-year-old's starting to get it because he'll hug me and be like, why did you guys lose? And I'm like, yep, I know. That's hard one to explain. But most of the time they don't care. And so I walk in the door and it's chaos and fun with little kids for a couple hours to just like step away and get perspective. Then when they go to bed, then the coaching talks come back out again. He's incredibly helpful. He knows the game. He knows the job. He knows the industry. He even coached here at UW Green Bay, so mm-hmm. He knows this place. We're I'm really thankful to have him, and we're really thankful to have our villages of our parents, mine are in Sheboygan, his are in Chilton, close by, because we have great support systems on both sides, and it's not always easy. But when you have really good people around you, family is where it starts, your team, your coaches, our community, right? When you have all the right people in place, it makes going through the really hard times worth it, because you can get through on the other side with good people.
And the kids don't have to ask about too many losses either when it comes to your program. All right, Kayla, before we let you go, Selection Sunday is right around the corner here. I know you guys are going to have a watch party of some sort. Obviously, this wildly, incredibly popular show, which your father-in-law got in on early, but lots of other people listen to as well, is popular in Green Bay. So if people want to come out and be there for Selection Sunday or to support the team, what does that look like? What do you guys have going on this weekend?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you the plan as of right now, and then I'm going to tell you what could happen. So right now, the plan, the show is Sunday night. It's at 7 o'clock Central Time. So what we're going to do is have a watch party at the bar down at Holmgren, and it's free and it's open to the public. Our team will be down there. Doors will be open well before that, but our team will be there for a short program starting about 6 o'clock. There will be some player interviews, coach interviews, some fun stuff where we just get to relive the season and come be a part of that. And then there will be a big screen, obviously, set up so that we can all watch a selection show together starting at 7 and then wait and find out when our name pops up, who and where we will play and when. At that point, we don't know anything before that. The caveat to it is, of course, it's Wisconsin and it's March, and so apparently we're getting this massive snowstorm. And so I just would advise people to follow our social media, because that is the plan right now. And if anything changes, we will alert people on social media, and that's the best we can do. I really hope that our team gets to experience a watch party with tons of fans there, because that's what they deserve. So, but we also have to be safe and be careful. So that's the plan right now. Either way, tune in on Sunday night to see Green Bay pop up.
Kayla, we're so glad that we were able to do this. We are a Packers-centric program. It takes a special person and a special program to change that. And you were more than worth our time. We appreciate you doing this. And I can't imagine how happy Dan and Rick are right now tuning in, because I appreciate their loyalty to our show. Good luck in the tournament. Thanks so much.
Thank you. And thank you for supporting women's basketball. We appreciate you making the time for us. That's a big deal. So thank you so much. Go Phoenix.